Hi, my name is Roy Collin, and welcome to the show. I've also got Fight Podcast, The Awakening Podcast, Exposing Fraud and Corruption, but with Solutions, the Crypto Podcast, talking about all things blockchain, NFTs, crypto, the Meditation Podcast, talking about all different types of meditation, but there's also meditations there from 1 minute to 2 hours. And the other one's the Learn Polish Podcast. So if you're interested in learning Polish, you can do that. And the other one is Speaking with Roy Collin. And I just have guests from around the world talking about either public speaking or also about their book or just general life in general. And you find everything on bio.link/podcaster. I'm also a podcasting coach. And you see the QR code there. And it's also on my link as well. And if you're interested in actually going on some podcast shows, I'm helping people doing that. Or if you're interested in sponsorship, you can contact me. And I'd like to thank my sponsor, danielpacker.com. He helps people with anxiety, stress, and addictions. He's got a 90% success rate, and you only pay if you're successful. So be sure to check him out, danielpacker.com. I hope you enjoy this week's show. Welcome to the Crypto Podcast. You can find all our episodes on the cryptopodcast.org. My guest today is the principal software engineer with over 10 years of experience in agile software development, cybersecurity, and DevOps, with dual master degrees in computer science and management information systems from US universities. He currently works at Paycor. His focused areas include agile development, DevOps, security from code to cloud, monitoring, observability, and data privacy. He applies his knowledge in CI, CD pipelines, infrastructure as code, containerization, and microservices as innovation in DevOps platforms and security frameworks. You've authored 6 research papers, peer-reviewed over 100, and served on technical program committee for over 30 international conferences, aiming to advance software delivery through his research. Please welcome Pratik Tantarate. Did I do your name justice?
Yes, that's correct, Roy.
Okay, thank you very much. So, I mean, like, I love what you're doing, and we're going to like the healthcare and fintech. But what I'd like to know is kind of a little bit more about you, how your whole kind of blockchain journey kind of came about.
Yeah, that sounds good. First of all, thank you, Roy, for your introduction. Thrilled to be here in the part of the discussion. So my journey into software engineering and more specific into blockchain technology started with my fascination about creating that system which is not just efficient and robust, but also evolving the security threats that we face today. And I got an opportunity to work in a agile development environment, cybersecurity, and DevOps. I realized while we are making this, rapid and advancement in this technology and in the software delivery, like security and privacy aspect is also an important part, which kind of struggle to keep up. I started doing more research about it, and I started my journey looking into that.
So for those that wouldn't be familiar with some of the terminology, like agile and also DevOps, you might just explain that to the listeners.
Sure. So Agile is just a software development lifecycle framework, which is based on a proper format. Like, if you work in a software company, like you follow a specific procedure where you have set some list of tasks that you plan to complete in those 2 weeks. And in those 2 weeks, you do the development work, you do the testing, and then eventually you push that code to the production and make it available to use by the customer. So what and this is how this is like a iteration works. So as if you follow this process and stick to this process, like you will deliver your software continuously, and you will also managing your task and planning to release the target date on time. So this is how the agile works. And the way DevOps work is DevOps is nothing but dev operations. So the way DevOps works is like by doing this software delivery process, you need a lot of tools and continuous integration and continuous delivery pipeline, which is kind of configured by the DevOps. So this both the things going hand in hand together, and this is how we ship the software faster.
Okay. So like before we touch on the healthcare, like this, because I know that I've seen it in some of the stuff when I was doing research on it, and like the different AIs. So like everyone's familiar with the chat GPT, but I've seen you've like Claude, Midjourney, and is it CarPilot or something? So like you might just kind of touch on them, because I wasn't familiar with Claude and the other ones.
Yeah, sure. So, I mean, there are so many softwares in the market right now. Like we have Cloud A, we have GitHub Copilot, we have ChatGPT, of course, like everyone familiar about that. So, but I'm particularly excited about the potential of integrating AI and machine learning, you know, into this kind of GPT environment that we have. And like today, like we are going to discuss about the blockchain, and we can create like more dynamic things using combination of both AI and ML. And this is where the future is headed right now. So actually, currently, like I am committed to contributing this evolution more into this field with my research and, you know, profession work that I'm doing right now. So, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I'm grateful for this opportunity, of course, like so that we can discuss about my research work and about my 10 years of professional, you know, work experience, and how I am researching currently into this blockchain power to protect our most valuable digital assets. So I look forward to this insightful discussion.
I suppose let's go with the zero trust block, because I mean, like this kind of that's connected with the healthcare, really. Yeah.
Yes, definitely. So you know, zero trust block is one of the topic which is very which I spend a lot of time you know, researching about this, because and I have written a couple of papers on that. So if you think about it, it just design on the core concept of if basically no trust, no access to give anyone irrespective of anything. So you first verify, and if you even if someone who is senior in your team, but you cannot just grant access to someone just because based on the background where he's coming from, you must go through the proper checks that needs to be done there. And especially in the healthcare, where the data is so sensitive, and I work for Paycor, and like here my domain is human resource management. So these two domains are very close to my professional experience, because earlier I worked in healthcare for like 8 years. I was working with United Healthcare. So what I felt is like, you know, in both the places, the data is so important, because it has a lot of your HIPAA, which is like a health issue. It is like a, just in simple terms, I would say it's like a, you call it as personal identifiable information, like SSN and account numbers that it all has. So it is very important to provide the security for those. And zero trust block, it mainly uses the blockchain technology, which will just offer to secure this data at the very best level at is possible based on the technology we are leveraging today. And for example, like if you look for the healthcare data, like, you know, we have the patient records, right? So we need the robust security so that, you know, it cannot be just authorized or it cannot be exposed to the public. So we zero trust block basically avoids a lot of breaches and fraud that will be possible if any cyber attack happens. So this is how this framework works.
With like if we look at the healthcare, because I find it a fascinating industry that, and I've like talked a lot on subjects in my other podcasts as well. There's a lot of kind of corruption, unfortunately, in that industry. So with kind of full traceability as well, if we kind of look at it that way with the blockchain, there's like, for example, there's one guest that I had, and they administered a drug that was death, killed his daughter, and you have to go through a whole court case and everything. But with this, it's black and white. It's like you would see that this was done. Would I be correct in thinking that like you full traceability when it's done this way? Plus, if you have systems in place, it should highlight that this shouldn't be done. If somebody is trying to administrate the wrong drug or things like that, is it getting to that level? That, for example, if somebody is administrating a drug that's supposed to be just for like 24 hours, but they're on the fifth day of doing it, that it could actually highlight it. Whereas instead of using the doctor, which unfortunately some of them are on 24-hour shifts, which I could never understand, but is it getting to that level, is it able to do that?
Yes, certainly. So basically, this whatever you just said, this is the novel concept of the security operations, and that we call the DevSecOps, which is like dev security operations. So basically, this technology overall promote a proactive and dynamic approach to the security, and by continuously analyzing the way you said, like transaction patterns or user behavior, it identifies like the anomaly which may indicate that there is a possibility of the security threat which could escalate. So, using the combination of AI and ML, it basically helps you to improve the decision making more significantly. Like it basically improves the overall decision making capability, and it's definitely like it's a fascinating area right now. Like everyone is just talking about AI and machine learning, and every company here and there is spending billions of dollars, to research on that, because it is definitely a future. It will be a future, and in my specific area, like even I have put a lot of focus on kind of security, because AI and ML combination is very powerful, but it could be dangerous if it could be used other way around, right? Because so yeah, I'm excited about the future.
And like with, say, even the chat GPT and any AI, it's kind of down to the limitations and the programming that they would. And in one way, I get that. I understand that, because you don't want somebody to ask, how can I create something that's going to kill people and stuff like that? That's understandable. But at the same time, unfortunately, a lot of the bigger companies, organizations, massive corporations, and I know you refer to the same as I do, the bad boys, like they have all the funding going into this. And how do we know, or how do we protect the individual when the person funding it isn't doing it from a place of the betterment of humanity?
Yeah, I see your point. So basically, here I would say smart contracts, which will automate this access control and consent protocol. I think this is what all come into picture. Like, you have whenever all these companies, like if you sign up for something, it should be consent-based data sharing, right? So whenever you're giving consent about that, okay, you are okay to share that data, then it will not haunt you. But just take a example of the bigger companies, like I talked about, like in the healthcare we have patient records, or like in the human resource management, like HR companies, we have employee information data, like their personal data. So the data owner retain the explicit control over the access of those data. And you know, providing all the precedented security and privacy. So this is the only way I think that we can deal with this situation.
And with kind of, unfortunately, the whole medical industry was created over 100 years ago to push out all the alternatives. And
right.
They're in control of all the hospitals and the whole organization, unfortunately. And if we look at even a lot of the natural remedies, which there's a load, the drugs that they create are based on the frequencies and that, but you've got all the chemical toxins. Is there like can we actually have a system that will create to let people to know the best healthcare for them rather than relying on because like I'll just explain,
yeah.
Like I know in America the prices are scandalous. Like people are paying $800 for an IV bag when you can get it for a dollar somewhere else in other parts of the world. And you know, there's people going bankrupt because of healthcare. And the reality is there's a load of natural remedies. And I think if we can have a healthcare system based on AI, which is kind of validated by the individuals that are confirming it, so then that way then it's not people lying or chasing it, or it's just follow the dollar, that
yeah.
We have a system. So is that, can we see that kind of happening in the next kind of 5 years?
Yes, I think so, because see, like when we are integrating this artificial intelligence and machine learning, you know, in a new perspective where it just provides the robust security and privacy, it also enables that you said about you know, the real-time data monitoring and protection. So person who like the bad character who has been doing all of that, it can be monitored and this process can be streamlined. So, and when it comes to any sensitive information such as payroll data, like in the human relationship, sorry, HCM, human capital management domain, or in healthcare domain, like we have a lot of payroll data, personal information, patient data, and all of this data can be safeguarded against those unauthorized access and cyber attacks. And secondly, when we do this automation, which will reach to the compliance management, and they follow standard procedure, which will make sure to protect this data and always align with the legal and regulatory requirements. And there should be no compromise in that, because, you know, this only not mitigate risk, but it also foster a culture of accountability and trust within the organization. So I think predictive analysis can be identified based on the process of like how the company is doing it, and if they have any software vulnerabilities. Vulnerabilities is nothing but like if you're exposed to, if you're exposing your weakness, then this will become the problematic, and this will ensure the continuous protection of the employee data and build a culture of trust and security within the company. And this is how you attract the new customer, like, you know, if you're part of any company. So that's my thought process on that.
Like, with kind of, you know, you're talking about the protection, but like, say, the cyber attacks, because, you know, they kind of usually tell us through television what's coming in. I forget the name of the movie, but it was like all the cars are driving on their own and everything. And, you know, we're seeing, you know, the phones being shut down, and we're seeing energy issues. And like, is it a case of the evil boys are creating their version of AI, and you have like, say, 95% of the population, because most people are good at heart and they just want to, you know, they don't want to create harm and everything. And you have another side that's trying to create better versions, and it's a case of who creates the best version? Or is it that you have an AI and you just constantly have to have it, that it's been backed up in so many locations and you have monitoring and it's just continuous improvement to track when there is an attack and to see, okay, we've got this, and it's never affecting the whole kind of system that you're using?
Yeah, and I think this is exactly where zero trust block architecture is built around, you know, just to protect that data. So, you know, as I said, first and foremost thing that every company they should do is they should create some architecture around the security. Whatever you said, that everything is possible, because if companies trying to do something good, for example, like if they're trying to good in terms of AI ML area, there are always a bad guys out there who will try to break your system and try to steal the data, right? So, but I mean, as I said earlier also, every company or they should at least set up some architecture which will be based on the zero trust block, which is like never trust anyone and always verify. That's the basic principle. And only this will be the gatekeeper which will guarantee that only authenticated parties can access or add data or maintaining or manipulating any strict integrity confidential standard. So, you know, this is how this can be solutionized. That's what I feel.
Okay. And like, because I remember the IBM Watson was kind of, I believe, was going to be for healthcare as well. Is there a system that, because, for example, right, with the, I call it the poison dart because I don't want it to be removed, but you know what I mean on that. And, you know, like when there's adverse reactions and stuff like that, there's the VAERS report, there's different things, but it's so complex and it's orchestrated because it's controlled by the wrong people that they reckon that like even 1% of the information that's going through is actually gets through. Whereas if this was able to be done on kind of the blockchain, it would be that it's seen immediately. And yeah, maybe other doctors or some specialists have to validate it, but it can't be hidden. And like what's, and that happens with a load of different drugs and things like that. I presume that can be all organized as well.
Yes, definitely. So, I mean, if you're looking ahead, the future of AI, you know, it will definitely set a new tone to redefine the cybersecurity. And this will be in all the sectors, but I am more focused on healthcare and HRM, which is like a human resource management. So whatever you said, like if I envision more sophisticated AI models that they can predict and, you know, neutralize the threats in real time, this should be deeply integrated with the record keeping capabilities. And, you know, this synergy will actually evaluate the data integrity and confidential that will set a new standard. That's how they can keep the data secure. And the second point that you mentioned, you know, we must also confront the ethical implications of that. Like, you know, it could be privacy concern, or it could be like a potential adoptions barrier, you know, that every company will slowly adopt to navigate the challenges, you know, by ensuring the transparent and ethical use of AI, if I will put it this way. Like, you know, that's why we call like ethical terms that we use usually, like when you talk about the ethical hacker, it's like a legal way or legit way of doing things, right? So if every company will just do ethical use of AI of for this safeguarding policy and foster innovation, then I think definitely all this thing will integrate into technology, will lead to a great future for sure.
And like, if we kind of go down the HR side then, because I mean, obviously contracts and things like that, there's kind of the confidentiality. But if we look on, not just, I mean, there's sometimes there's management that are, you know, their terms aren't agreed enough, what if they're on a bonus system or whatever, but there's also the employees and if there's abuse going on or the firing process. When you create this in a way that, like if we look at, say, somebody that's been fired because they've been abusive, like if we had a system in place that they can't just hide that, because what I've noticed, and it's I kind of I'm hoping in this whole kind of transparency, if we look at say construction as well, because I know HR, but if because we're looking at people at the end of the day, we're looking at people and what they're doing and if they're doing the things right. Obviously, there's the contract side of things, but if we even kind of incorporate that into say construction companies and everything, there's so many people that are ripped off because of these people, and then they just create company B the next day and they take the money and they just, you know, they do a small bit of work, take 90% of the money, and there's nearly everybody's got a horror story like that. But the reality is, if everything was on blockchain that was traceable to the individual, you could just check with that person and you would know whether they were actually going to be decent for you. And it's the same for, like, say, the employees. Would I be correct that that's actually possible?
I mean, I see your point. So if I will talk about the possibility, I mean, sky is the limit, right? So everything is possible. It is just about like how the companies can adopt these practices is in most ethical way, I would say. Because this is still too early, but there is a possibility that all the areas and the scenarios that you suggested, that is also possible. And and that kind of abuse can be stopped. But my vision is one of the seamless, and maybe where the blockchain and the AI will secure data, and this will make it more accessible and usable for the legitimate purposes. So, I mean, if I talk about the healthcare, like, right, we translate this patient data, which is not really, which should be shared among the authorized users or providers only, because this healthcare companies work a lot with the providers, like different providers here. We have like Aetna, Cigna, and all of that, right? So they, if they want to secure that data, like they have to ensure that they are authorizing the correct providers, and this will enhance the quality of the care delivery, and this will kind of improve the customer satisfaction as well. And then only will company, if the end user will believe in your system that, like you have a good history of retaining a data and no security data breach or anything, you will, your company will grow. And because in today's world, especially in AI ML, everyone is just talking about the security, how you can secure data. It's about, even I get scared, like, because it's not just about the healthcare and payroll. Just think about social network, right? We use so many different apps, and when you sign up for those apps, like it just asks you to allow and you give your consent, but you don't know behind the scenes like what they are doing with that data, right? And it's crazy. But when it comes to healthcare and payroll, it's very set of a standard that we need to follow. You cannot just authorize anyone to access the data. So this overall, like this security will be the next big thing that I envision, because currently the way this AI ML is expanding, no one is really talking about the security, but behind the scenes they are smart, because they are training the data. And how they train the data? By taking your data. So eventually we need to see like how we can stop sharing that data and how we can stop providing that data. And even if you're providing it, it should be in a legitimate way, if that makes sense.
Yes, of course. And like, just curious how you've kind of just simplified this, because if we look at even just say, crypto, so many people are confused about it when you're talking about wallets and everything. It's like they're bamboozled, and it's easy when somebody sits down with you and takes you through the whole process. And I think that's the easiest way of learning. But if we look at, say, in the healthcare industry, depending on age and everything, not everybody is tech savvy. How can this be done in such a way that is not limiting to the newer generation? That, like, have you thought of that, or how will it be done that everyone will be able to use it?
I think it all depends, to be honest, like how we want to use it. But if you ask about my vision, in this innovative technology, this will empower the complete, it will be a new revolution in the technological area, I would say. So ethical implications, privacy concerns, and potential adoptions. So if we navigate to th through these challenges, and if we know how we can safeguard the privacy, I think we can figure out the solution for that. But that's just my view.
Okay. And like the Paycor, the company, do you want to discuss on that? Do you want to say exactly what you're doing?
Sure. So here, basically, we are a HCM company, which is like a human capital management. So what we provide mainly five solutions. So suppose if you are a company, if you run a restaurant, for example, and if you have 50 employees and you want to you so what if you are a restaurant owner, you will come to us, and what we will give you solution is for those 50 employees, we can hire you with paperless process, like no documentation. Everything is in the cloud. You have to just take our service of onboarding, and we will onboard all of your 50 employees. Then our second solution is time tracking. So all those 50 employees, when they will come into work and when they time off, we will take care of the time punching. So we will take care of all the time management of those employees. So that's our solution two. Our solution three is if you want to pay those employees, we will run a payroll for all those 50 employees, and we will run the way that you want, like if you want bi-weekly, or if you want monthly, or you just want weekly as well. Anything is possible. And on top of that, like because I mentioned about the restaurant, if you want, if your employees are getting tipped, then we do have a system where we will pay you differently, because tipping culture is calculate different here. Then our fourth solution is if you want to file your taxes, we will take care of that as well. And overall, our fifth solution is like if for all your entire business, if you want the general ledger, like the electronic data about in and out transactions of your business, we will provide that as well. So our main company run ha provide this five solutions, and we mainly have and the way we make money is for all those 50 employees, that customer should pay some fixed amount for every employee every month, for example, $15. So that company will pay 15 into 50 for monthly to Paycor. And we have about 55,000 clients that we are currently handling in United States. So if that answers.
No, absolutely, absolutely. Just no. Oh, it's
No,
all
that's fine.
fascinating. And
Yeah, and the way like my role come into picture here is I work in one particular domain, which is payroll, and I'm a principal software engineer. So I work with the architecture and with the application dev managers to ensures whatever features that we have in pipeline that we should develop, and release in every 2 weeks of a sprint cycle, which I said. And eventually, you know, just that's how we release the new features to the customer that they can use, right? So that's where I work.
Okay. And just finally, with all your experience and all you're doing and what you're seeing, like, where do you envision what can you see for the foreseeable future, or what would you like to see?
You know, like, I'm very positive, to be honest, considering the future of AI and blockchain. They are setting a right tone to provide the security solutions in all the domains. And I think it's just about how well we can integrate that in our system. For example, in Paycor, if suppose we have the dev operations, every company should, you know, give more focus on security, and they will do a DevSec operation, which is like a, you know, dev security operations. So, and they have to implement this for every software they deliver, because traditional practices, sometimes they overlook the security thing. And because you just want to, you know, you just want to release any software sooner, you kind of ignore the security thing. But I think future will be different, because everyone is aware about how security will be challenging. So companies will adopt this DevSec operations into their CI/CD pipeline, and they will foster. So I'm positive about it.
Excellent. Listen, Pratik, thoroughly enjoyed the conversation. You might let people know where they can find you.
Sure. So I am on LinkedIn. You can search with my name. And, you know, I'm mostly, I think LinkedIn is the best place, to be honest. And it's my pleasure as well, Roy, to be the part of this impactful discussions that we have about, you know, security solutions and how we can inspire more people, like, you know, about and explore, you know, share our thoughts about the innovation and how we can adopt the security in the critical area. So it's a nice conversation.
Excellent. And I'll make sure I'll put your LinkedIn bot on the show notes for the audio and the video. Yeah. So thank you very much.
Sounds good. Yeah.
So that's all for the Crypto Podcast. You'll find all our episodes on cryptopodcast.org. Until next week, take care. Well, I hope you enjoyed this week's episode. Be sure to give us a thumbs up, 5-star rating, and share with your friends. And you'll find all my shows with the QR code or bio.link/podcaster, as well as my podcast coaching. And I'd like to thank my sponsor, danielpacker.com, helping people with anxiety, stress, and addictions. He's got a 90% success rate, and you only pay if you're successful. Also, if you'd like to go on a podcasting tour, I can help you do that. And if you're interested in sponsorship, you can contact me on my bio.link/podcaster. Until next week, take care.